Today's shiur is Masechta Yevam, Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, Nes Armelu, Nes Garshu. Says the Gemara, Bominei Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Mishmul, Koin Godel Shekidish Ez Aktana, Ubogar Tachtov. As we will learn in the next Mishnah, Mitzvah Shem, on Daf Nun Tes, the Torah Akdoisha tells us regarding a Kohen Gadol, whom he may and whom he may not marry, Amona Grush v'chalala Zoynes Eila lo yikach Ki im besula mi'amav yikach isha. A Kohen Gadol is obligated only to marry a besula. And as we will learn in that Mishnah, included in this halacha is that the Kohen Gadol is not supposed to marry a girl who is 12 and a half. Once a girl is 12 and a half years old and she brought two simonim, she's considered a begeris, and a kohen gadol is not supposed to marry a begeris. What happened in this question that Reb Chiya is posing to Shmuel is, as we know, Jewish marriage is done in two steps. First there's erisin, and then there's nesuin. When the kohen gadol was mekadesh, when the kohen gadol did erisin with this girl, she was still a ketana. And then, prior to Nesu'in happening, she became a Begeris. And the Gemara's question is, Mahu, what is the halacha? Bosa Nesu'in Nazlinen, or Bosa Erisin Nazlinen? What do we follow? Do we follow the Erisin? And since at the Erisin she was still a Ketana, it's an acceptable situation? Or, since by the time Nesu'in comes, she's already Begeris, he may not make Nesu'in with her. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, the simple pshat that most Rishonim learn is, when the Torah tells us, Ki im besula mi'am av yikach isha, what does the Torah mean when it says that? Does it mean erisin or Nesu'in? Tosfos takes the question a little deeper. As we've been learning from our Mishnah, Rameyat taught us that there's a concept of Mishtameres Labia Psula, where Kohen got married, made Erisin with a woman to whom he's not supposed to make Nesu'in, and such an Erisin, we learned, the woman can never eat Truma, so, and that is the halacha by Grusha to a Kohen Hedjet, that is the halacha by Amonah Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara wants to know, says Tosfos, this situation where the Kedushin took place when the girl was still a Ketana or a Nara, and the Nesu'in is going to be after she's already Begeris, is this a situation of Mishtameres Labia Psula? Amalei, so the answer to Nesu'ah, we learned it in our Mishnah, because we learned in our Mishnah, this Amlo and this Garshu, when the Kohen got married to a woman he wasn't supposed to, if the marriage terminated because he died or got divorced, min ha-nesu'in, after they had already nesu'in, psulus. These women become permanently disqualified from ever marrying a kohen, from ever eating truma. Min ha-erisin, but if the marriage terminated only from a state of erisin, then ksheros, then they do not become chalolos, and they still may marry Kohanim in the future and still may be able to eat Truma. So you see, says the Gemara, the defining moment is Nesu'in that makes the difference. Amalei, so Reb Chiya says, L'shav y'chalala, at what point a woman becomes chalala like Kamibayli? I never had any question. The bihi, the m'shav y'chalala, it's the bia, it's the time of Nesu'in that causes a woman to become chalala. As the Rishonim explain, because the pasuk that describes how one becomes a chalala says, V'lo yichalel zaroi. So we see that the Torah connects the fact that one becomes a chalala to zaroi, to the point when they have children. And that point is obviously after the bia, after the Nesu'in. Ki kamabayli, my question, says Reb Chiya, was the pasuk says, "V'hu isha v'psula yikach." My, what does that yikach mean? kicha, the kedushin v'inan, doesn't mean kedushin, and therefore, as long as the kedushin took place while the woman was a narrow ktan, it's acceptable. A kicha, the nesun v'inan, and if the nesun will take place after the woman is a begeris, it's unacceptable. Amalei, so he says to him, Shmuel again says, Hanami tenesua, it's going to be something that we're going to learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eres is halmona, if a kohen gadol did eresin with almona, if a kohen did eresin with almona, and only after the eresin, nismana lios kohen gadol, prior to the nesuin, he was appointed to be a kohen gadol, the halacha is yichnois, he may marry her. Obviously, because the eresin was done properly, and we see it seems that the eresin is the defining moment. So he says, Shani Hasam, there it's different, because the pasuk that we quoted earlier has an extra word. The pasuk says, Amana grush v'chalala zaynas el la yikach, ki im besu mi amav yikach isha. So the question is, why does the pasuk have to add that the seemingly extra word, ki im besu la v'amav yikach isha? So it comes to teach us this case, that if he did erisin to this woman, the almana, while he was still a kohen hedyot, and then he was appointed kohen gadol before he does the nesuin, he still may marry her. Ask the Gemara, hanamiksev isha, and the way most rishonim hanamiksev isha, and the way most rishonim explain the Gemara's question is that why don't we use this word isha also to teach us the halacha regarding the shaila we've been discussing, that if he did kiddushin while the girl was still ketana or nara, even though she becomes begeris before the nesuin should be permitted. Says the Gemara, achas v'loshtayim. Since the Torah uses the word isha in the singular, it comes to teach us only one situation is it permitted. And the Gemara is saying, which situation? The situation where he made erisin with a mono and then became a kohen gadol prior to the nesuin. But this pasuk does not come to add also the question that we've been discussing, that he did erisin when she was a ketana or a nara, and then she became a begeris before the nesuin. So ask the Gemara Marisa. Fine. We're saying that the pasuk could only be coming to teach us one of two cases. But ask the Gemara, why are we saying that it's teaching us the case of almana versus telling us that it's teaching the case that we've been discussing? Answers the Gemara, Hai ishta negufa, v'hai lo ishta negufa. The case that of almana, nothing changed in that woman. However, in the case that we're discussing, this woman changed from being a ketana or a nara to begeris. So if we need that the pasuk should be teaching us something, we have the pasuk teaching us the smaller chiddush, the easier thing to understand. The case of almana is the easier case to understand, and we say that that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. And Tosfos points out that if so, if a kohen gadol did erisin to begeris uktaana, and then he did nesuin to her, and afterwards he became a kohen gadol, certainly there's no question that he would be allowed to remain with this woman as his wife, because nothing changed. Similarly, Tosfos has a question: if a kohen gadol was ma'aris a woman, and as we're going to learn, the halacha is that a mukus eitz and a bu'ula, mukus eitz we'll see means a woman had some sort of a makkah, some sort of a clap by the place, by oisamakam, a bu'ula is that she had relations. What would be the halacha if that happened between erisin and nesuin? Would that disqualify her from being able to have nesuin or not? There's an interesting Rambam who learns the Gemara different, obviously, than we've explained the Gemara. And he says that the word Isha, Achas V'Loshtayim, comes to teach us that the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to be married to one wife, v'loshtayim, not to two wives. All Rishonim understand that a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is only allowed to have one wife. As the Pasuk says, v'chippur ba'adoi or bi'ad beisoi. The question is regarding all year round, does he have this limitation? And they, Rambam and Meiri, say that that's what the Gemara means here, Achs Boshtayim, there's only allowed to have one wife, not two. So as we learned, says the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol lo yisal mona. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow, Bein Amona men Erisin, Bein Amona men Nesuin. Whether she's an Amona from Erisin or from Nesuin, for lo yisus a Begeris, he's not allowed to marry a Begeris. Rav Elazar of Shimon, Machshim Begeris, they do allow a Kohen Gadol to marry Begeris. For lo yisus mukaseitz, most Rishonim do have the Girsa in our Mishnah, saying that he's not allowed to marry a woman who was wounded by a piece of wood or any external object. Just as a Machloikis Rashi in Ritva, who is saying this line, this halacha of Laisas Mukaseitz? Rashi seems to say that it's only Rabbi Lazar of Shimon who hold this way. It's Machloikis if a Kohen is allowed to marry Mukaseitz or not. The Ritva seems to learn that everyone agrees that a Kohen Gadol lo yisus Mukaseitz, not allowed to marry Mukaseitz. Tana Rabbanan. Amona lo yikach, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amona. And as we learned in the Mishnah, Bein Amona min Erisin, Bein Amona min Nesuin. It makes no difference if she's an Amona from Erisin or Nesuin. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. An Amon is Amona. Why would I think it's a difference if she's an Amona min Erisin or min Nesuin? Answers the Gemara, Madu Tema, Leilif Amona Amona mitamar. As we find that the Torah calls Tamar an Amona, Tamar was married to Yehuda's sons, Aaron Einan. She had Nesuin with those people, and she's called an Amona. So perhaps I would say Mala Halaman and Nesuin, just like there the Torah used the word Amona, and Amona means Amona and Nesuin. Afkan here too, when the Torah says that a Kohen Gadol may not marry an Amona, it means Amona and Nesuin. Kamash Malon, that it means even Amona from Gerish, from Erisin. Ask the Gemara of Eimach Nami, and perhaps indeed that should be the din. And the Kohen Gadol should only be osur to an almona min ha-nesuin, answers the Gemara Dumi de Grusha. We compare the isser of a Kohen Gadol to marry an almona to the isser of any Kohen to marry a Grusha. Ma Grusha, just like a Grusha, Beimin Erisin, Beimin Nesuin, he's not going to marry a Grusha, whether she's a Grusha min Erisin or Nesuin. Afa almona, Beimin Erisin, Beimin Nesuin, so too by almona we say he's not going to marry an almona, whether she's an almona from Erisin or Nesuin. So the obvious question, the first obvious question is, we have a choice. We could learn the Isser of a Kohen Gadol marrying an almona from Tamar, which would mean he's only now allowed to marry an almona min Nesuin. We can learn it from Grusha, which would include an almona min Ha'erisin. So why does the Gemara prefer to learn from Grusha rather than from Tamar? So Mefarshim answer, because the halacha is that whenever we can make a hekesh, lekula or lechumra, that means learn from Grusha and it'll be chumra, even men Erisin, or learn from a Tamar and only be from Nesuin, we always go lechumra. But then the Rishonim take the question a step further. They say maybe we should learn the halacha of a Grusha, that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. We should learn that halacha from Tamar also, and say that all Almanas and Grushas only mean min ha suin, not min ha erisin. So the Mefarshim explain that when a Torah tells us that the Kohen Hedyot may not marry a Grusha, it doesn't seem to make any sense to differentiate whether she's a Grusha min ha erisin or min ha nesuin. And the reason is because by a Kohen Gadol whom he's allowed to marry and whom he's not allowed to marry, as we've learned it depends on she's a psula. So there we could think there should be only an almanaman and a suin should be usur. Not, because that's when she's a ba'ula. That's when she consummated her relationship. Not minan erison. But regarding a kohen hegyitz, isur to marry a grusha, it has nothing to do with psula. A grusha is a woman that a kohen hegyitz should not marry. So there's no reason to differentiate by a kohen hegyitz between erison and the suin. And now we take it a step further, and we say that so too will be the halacha regarding almana. I saw the Rishash says by grusha it always makes sense to say that it's limited, that it includes both mina erisin and mina nesuin, because the pasuk that speaks about gerishin, the pasuk in the Torah that introduces the concept of gerishin, that introduces the concept of divorce, is a pasuk regarding gerishin mina erisin, because the Torah says kikach ish isha, which is erisin. If she doesn't find favor in his eyes, so he divorces her. So we see that the entire parasha of Grusha, the Torah, refers to Grusha min Erisin. So it makes sense to say that's what Grusha means by Kohen Hegyet. And then we take it a step further to say that it also continues that that's what it means by Almana, both min Erisin and min Nesuin. The Mefarshim make an interesting observation. The Gemara in a number of places in Shas discusses, can we learn a halacha from something that happened before Kabbalah Satayra? Here, our Gemara is suggesting that we should learn from Tamar, which was an episode that happened before Kabbalah Satayra, to concepts that refer to what happened to dinim that were given to us after Kabbalah Satayra. So the Ritva really touches on the question, and Ritva says that what the Gemara doesn't really mean here is to make a hekish, a gzer shava, between Tamar and the Amon of a Kohen Gadol. That's Amon to a Kohen Gadol. That would be a hekish from before Matan Torah to after Matan Torah, which is not acceptable. Which the Gemara really means to you just to say Gilui Milsa. The Gemara wants to help us know how to define the word Amonah. And it wants to use the Pasuk by Tamar to teach us what is the definition of Amonah. And according to Ritva, the question we asked is very good. It could be very well answered. We asked, why don't we learn Grusha from Tamar? Because it's not really a Gzeir Shava, it's just a Gili Milsa. But it's interesting to note that even though generally we say we don't learn halachas from something that happened before Matan Torah, this concept of marriage, we do find many halachas that are learnt from before Kabbalah Torah. Our Gemara attempts to use the word before Kabbalah Satayrah regarding what is an almana. We know the whole concept of Sheva Brachas is learned from Yaakov Avinu, Malei Shvua Zois, which is where we learn Sheva Brachas from, also before Matan Torah. Somehow, and for some reason, halachas of marriage we do learn from before Kabbalah Satayrah. V'layisas HaBegeris, so we learned in the Mishnah that Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Begeris. Turn our bottom. The pasuk says, "Who isha b'vusuleh yikach prat l'begeres." He's not allowed to marry begeres. Shekol b'vusuleh whose psulim have dissipated. Divrei Rav Meir. But Tosfos points out, it's not to say that a begeres who never had relations doesn't have any psulim. It just means, doesn't mean that she doesn't have any virginity. It means that they dissipated somewhat because of her age. Rav Elazar of Shimon machshir begeres. Ask the Gemara, but my Kamifki, what is the basis of the machloikas between Rav Meir versus Rav Elazar of Shimon? Says the Gemara, Rav Meir sava besula, when the Torah says, word, if the Torah had used the word besula, it would include a filu mixes besula mashma, even a woman who has partial virginity. It would include a begeris. When the Torah uses the words besuleha, it comes to teach us, ad the ikakala besulam, until she has all of a psulim. Then when the Torah adds bibisuleha, using that extra base, to teach us b'kedarka in, only a woman who had natural, normal relations becomes disqualified to a kohen gadol, shloi kedarka, but if she had loi kedarka relationships, loi, she would not become disqualified to a kohen gadol. Rabbi Lazar of Shimon Savri, Besula Shleima Mashma. They hold that the word Besula means a complete Besula. And as the Rishonim point out, this is the crux of the machloikis between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Lazar of Shimon. How do we define the word Besula? According to Meir, the word Besula means even a partial Besula. According to Rabbi Lazar of Shimon, they say the word Besula means only a complete Besula. So when the Torah, instead of using the word Besula, uses the word Besuleha, it comes to teach us a field of mixes Besulim. That even if she has partial virginity, even she's Begeres, she still may marry a Kohen Gadol. When the Torah adds that base of Bibesuleha, to teach us Acheka Besuleha Kayamin, to she has to have all of Besulim, and therefore they teach us that if a woman even had relations shaloi kedarka, she becomes disqualified to a kohen gadol. Amar Yehuda Marav, nivala shaloi kedarka. If a woman had relations shaloi kedarka, says Rav, similar to what Rabbi Lazar of Shimon just taught us, Psulul Kuhuna, she becomes disqualified to marry a Kohen Gadol. Masav Rava asks Rava, the Torah tells us that if a man rapes a woman, he has to pay a fine. V'loi siya li'isha. He has to marry her. Teaches us the Braisa. B'isha haru'ila. Only time does the Torah require that he should have to marry her if she is a woman haruyaloi, that he could be fit to be his wife. Prat la monal kohen gadol, it comes to exclude if the kohen gadol raped an almana, or grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, or kohen hedyot raped a grusha chalutza, they would not become, they cannot, he cannot marry her. And as we will learn on the base, even this halacha is even anusas atzmai umafutas atzmai. Even a woman that he was the one that raped her, or he was the one that raped her, or the one that seduced her, has the same halacha. There's an interesting shaila that the Rishonim already ask. They ask that this chiv that a kohen gadol should marry a besula is a very weak chiv asay. It's a chiv asay that only applies to one man in Klal Yisrael, to Kohen Gadol. The chiv of Eloi Siya Le'isha, that is a chiv asay, applies to every person. Under every situation that a woman, Rachman's son, is raped, he has to take her as a wife. So they, Mershainim already asked, why shouldn't the essay of Eloi Siya Le'isha be doicha, should not supersede the essay of Ki and Besula Be'amav Yikach Isha? So the Rishonim offer two answers. One answer is that's exactly what the Torah means to say in the words V'loi Siya Le'isha B'isha Haruyala. The Torah is telling us that even though logically the essay of V'loi Siya Le'isha should be doicha the essay of Ki and Besula Be'amav Yikach Isha, still tells us the Torah, Isha Haruyaloi, he should only marry a woman who is fit to him. That's how the Rashba learns. Others explain that since this chiv of Eloi Siel Isha is not a chiv that always has to be, because the halacha is that if the woman or her father refused to allow the ma'anis, the raper, to marry her, then she doesn't have to marry him. So this is not considered an essay that has to be fulfilled, and therefore it's not doichad essay. Where is there enough community between these two terutzim? So Sora B'chan offers the following nafkamina. He says, what will be the halacha if one raped his wife's sister while his wife was alive, and then his wife died? If we're going to learn, like the Rashba, that if one rapes a woman that's not ruyaloi, the Torah is specifically saying, then don't marry her. So it makes no difference if afterwards, by the time he wants to marry her, his wife died and his sister-in-law is mutter to him. But if the issue is, because it doesn't have to be, that mitzvah you don't have to fulfill, because the woman always has the right to refuse. So if the if the raper's wife will die, then he would be allowed to marry his sister-in-law. But what the Braisa here clearly is telling us is that a Kohen Gadol raped a woman, raped an almana, that he doesn't marry her. Ask Mar Hechidomi, exactly what is the situation the Braisa is referring to? Ilema b'kedarka, that she had natural relationship. My Iri Mishama almana. So why is the Braisa saying that he's not allowed to marry her? Because she's an almana, typically Mishum Dava Bula, and as we've been learning, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Bula. Elolaf, the case must be Shaloi Kedarka, that he had relations with her Shaloi Kedarka. Umishum almana in, and therefore the only disqualification this woman has is that she is an almana, Mishum Bula Loi. But it's not considered that she's a Bula, and she doesn't have that disqualification. Isn't this a clear proof, says the Gemara, that Shaloi Kedarka does not make a woman a Bula? Says the Gemara, Harmani, yes. This Braisa reflects the position of Rameihi, that Rameihi, as we learned in the Braisa Naman Aleph, says that a woman that had Bi Shaloi Kedarka is not considered a Bula. Rav, who does say that a woman who had biyush like a darkas bula holds like Rabbi Elazar. Ask the Gemara, Iker Rabbi Elazar, if Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar, my ear yemishim bula. So why is he saying that a woman that had biya shloik kedarka is disqualified to a kain gadol because she's a bula? Typically, davele zayna. He should say that there's another issue with this woman. She's a Zayna, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, because according to Rabbi Elazar's opinion, Pani Abba Pnuya, if a single unmarried man had relations with an unmarried woman, if Shloi L'Shem Ishus, if they didn't have intent to get married, also a Zayna, she becomes a Zayna, and as we know, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Zayna. So the Rishonim ask, perhaps Rav agrees with Rabbi Elazar according when he says that a biyush shaloi kedarka makes a woman a bu'ula, but he does not agree with Rabbi Elazar in his contention that upon abba pnuya shaloi l'shem ishus also a zayna. So the Tosfos, Rosh and other Rishonim say that indeed the Gemara could have perhaps suggested such an answer, but the Gemara did not say this because the Gemara wants to see if it could have a way of explaining Rav's position to be totally consistent with Rabbi Elazar, even though interestingly enough we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar in his position upon a Abba Pnuya Asa Zayna. Another question that the Masha and other Mepharshim ask is perhaps when Rav says that if one had relations with a woman Shaloi Kedarka she becomes a Ba'ula, it's not to exclude her being a Zayna. He's only focusing on one of the issues that becomes with this woman, that she becomes a Ba'ula, but not to say that she is not a Zayna. So there are two answers given to that question. One is, if that's the case, that as soon as there are relations that weren't supposed to happen between a man and a woman, the woman becomes a Zayna, then why did Rav have to choose a case of speaking about a Kohen Gadol regarding a woman that had biyush like kedarka? He could have said regarding any kohen that woman becomes prohibited to him because she's a zayna. And also the Mefarshim ask, it's general if there are two isurim involved in an act. If this person, if this kohen gadol is not allowed to marry the woman because she's both a bu'ula and she's a zayna, the braisa should have Rav should have mentioned both issues, not ignored it if he holds that she's a zayna. Amar Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said the Rav is referring to a situation kigon shenivala lebehema, where she had relations, unnatural relationships with an animal. The hasa mishum bu'ula ika, that turns her into a bu'ula mishum zayna leka, but she's not a zayna because, as we're going to learn in a moment, ein znus lebehema, a woman who has relations with an animal, even though it's a chiv skila, does not make her into a zayna. Amla Abaya asks Abaya, I don't understand. Memanushach, Ibula Hava, Zayna Nami Hava. Shouldn't these two issues travel together? And if relations with an animal can make her into a Bula, shouldn't it also make her into a Zayna? And if it can't make her into a zayna, buna nami loyhava, she should also not be considered a bula. And if you'll say that a woman who had unnatural relations with an animal becomes disqualified to a kind godl, meeted a hava mukus h like a darka, just like any woman who would have a wound by a piece of wood or another object happened to her like a darka to become disqualified. And it's not because anything specific of the relations with an animal. It's just because physically she's been wounded and she's no longer psula. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that? Because if that is indeed the case, that if a woman became wounded, shloi kedarka, she becomes disqualified for a kohen gadol, imken ein l'cha ish k'sher l'kuna, there will be no woman ever be able to marry a kohen gadol. Shloi nasas mukas eitz al yidei tzror. In those days, when one cleaned themselves after using the bathroom, they used stones. Those stones would make her a mukas eitz shloi kedarka. So obviously, a mukas eitz shloi kedarka is not a disqualification of a woman to marry a kohen gadol. So if so, we're back to where we started. We need to identify a situation where the woman will be considered a bu'ula, but not a zayna, even according to Rabbi Lazar, who has a very broad definition of a zayna, because he holds even a pani abba, a penuya shloi l'shem ishus, a zayna. Because we want to be able to interpret Rav's statement in Aleph according to Rabbi Lazar. Elam Rabbi Zera, the situation that Rav is referring to is Mamamenes. As we know, the halach is that a father can marry off his daughter who's a minor. If the father, Rachman Slan, passes away, the Rabbanan gave the mother and her brothers the right to marry off. But those Kedushin are only Kedushi de Rabbanan. And therefore there's a special halacha that if the girl, before she becomes a gedayla, before she becomes bas mitzvah, wants to be mamanis, wants to annul the marriage, she may. So now we have the following situation. A girl got married under these circumstances and had relations with her husband and then did miyun. A bu'ula she is, because she certainly had relations with her husband, but she's not a zayna. She was 100% legally married midrabanon, and she's not a zayna, and that's how we have a situation of a girl who's a bu'ula and not a zayna, even according to Belaza. Mefarshim give other variations of a similar situation. What will be the halacha if a girl's mother or brother married her off? The father went away, l'medina sayam, but the father is alive. So this girl got married. Really, it was not a legal marriage, because the halacha is that a mother or brother cannot marry off a daughter as long as her father is alive. But she got married, they assumed that they were allowed to get married. So we have a situation that she is a bula and not a zayna. The Rivash discusses a situation where a man, a boy, who's 9 years old and not yet bar mitzvah, married a woman. That we know that the bia is a bia, but the kedushin are not a kedushin. But they assume that since he can make a bia, he could also make a kedushin. So now, again, we will have a situation that she is a bu'ula, but not a zayna. Amar Rav Simi Bachia, nivel behema, if a woman had relations with an animal, k'sher l'kuhuna, she is kosher to kuhuna. So we have here a very fundamental machloikus Rashi and Ritva, which actually refers back to the machloikus of Rashi and Ritva that we discussed in our Mishnah. According to Rashi, when our Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, said that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a mukas eitz, and Rashi said that that's not the opinion of all Tanoim, our Gemara, who says that a woman had relations with an animal, she's kshera l'kuhuna, it could be even if she had natural relations, kedarka with the behema, and it will go according to the man, the Omer, that holds that a kohen gadol is allowed to marry a mukas eitz, because certainly a woman that had relations with an animal kedarka is no less than a mukas eitz. However, according to Ritva, who he explained in our Mishnah that all Tanoim hold that a mukas eitz may not marry a kohen gadol, So how could a woman who had relations with an animal marry a kohen gadol? Isn't she no less than a mukas eitz? The Ritva will have to explain that our Gemara here refers to nivela behema. It must be nivela behema shloik darka. Tanya nami hachi. Similarly, we learned in a brisa nivela lamisha inish. If a woman had relations with an animal, abishim skila, even though it's a terrible avera for which there's a chiv skila, kshayr lekahuna. Ki asa Rav Dimi Omar ma'isa bariva achas behislu. There was a situation with a girl in Hislu, shos mechabedes as abayis, she was cleaning the floor of the house. Rava kelef kufri machreah, a wild dog sodomized her from behind her. V'chshir Rebbe lekahuna, and Rebbe allowed her to marry a kohen gadol. Amishmu lekohen gadol. Asked the Gemara, b'mei Rebbe kohen gadol may have her. Was there a kohen gadol? There should be consideration who the kohen gadol may or may not marry. So the Gemara, Ella Ruil Kohen Gadol. What they meant to say is such a woman in the times when there was a Kohen Gadol would be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. So the Ritva asks, he says we need to understand. Our Gemara has been discussing who a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry, whom he's not allowed to marry. And nobody ever asked, why are we discussing who a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry? Is there a Kohen Gadol to be concerned about? Because the answer is lahagdol tayir la'adira. We learn gemaras and we learn mishnayis and we learn halachas that may not be relevant la'aloch l'maisa. So why over here is the gemara, yes, asking the question? Says the Ritva, here it seemed that they were discussing aloch l'maisa situation. Of course, says the Ritva, we learn halachas that are not aloch l'maisa. That's many mishnayis, especially in a masechta like ours, but when it seems that we're speaking about a halacha lemaisa, that's when the Gemara asks, was there a kohen gadol in those times? Another point Rav Moshe Feinstein makes in the Tshuva, Sigmas Moshe, based on this Gemara, is that even though we see that, as we said, that a person is not allowed to have relations with an animal, it's a chiv skila, still says Rav Moshe, since we're learning ein znus lebehema, as we know, normally by arayis, by an avera that involves arayis, the loch is yarg val yava, a person has to let himself be killed. That means if a person is being forced to live with a woman, he's not allowed to, he's supposed to allow himself to be killed. But that doesn't apply to an animal. And if a person was being forced to live with an animal, there would be no din of yarg val yava. The Beis Halevi asks a very interesting question. He says, we know that people, unfortunately, have Yetzirah, and that's why they do Averis. And sometimes they do very big Averis. But the question asked the Beis Halevi is, an animal doesn't have a Yetzirah. So what forces, what gets the animal interested in doing such an Avera, of such a terrible Avera, of having relations with a woman? Says the Beis Halevi, when a person does a mitzvah, he brings a Ruach Kedusha, a spirit of holiness to the world. And if, on the other hand, Rachman Tzlan, people do Averis, they bring a Ruach Tumah to the world. When there's a Ruach Tumah in the world, Rachman Tzlan, it permeates the entire world. It permeates that even animals that don't have a Yetzirah, but there's a Tumah in the world, and animals do things that even they normally don't do, which are terrible Averis. Amalei Rava Miprizakula Rav Ashi, Menoha Milst Am Rabbonin. From where do we notice halacha that ends nusla behema? The ksiv, because the Torah tells us, la savi estan zoyna o mechir kelef. The Torah tells us that if one gave a prostitute, a animal, a sheep, such a sheep may not be brought on the mizbeach. A mechir kelef refers to the case if one exchanged a dog for a sheep, that sheep too may not be brought on the mizbeach. V'tnan, and we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Temura, Estan Kelev U'mechir Zoynin V'tara. Let's say one would make the following deal, that a woman should live with a dog and get paid a sheep for that act, or if one would exchange for a harlot, if somebody would exchange a sheep for a prostitute, they're not usur. Shem Shenemar, Gam Shneim. Because the pasuk that says that Esten and Zoyna Mechir Kelev may not be brought in Mizbeach says, Lesavi Esten and Zoyna Mechir Kelev Gam Shneim. Shneim. Only these two things that are referred in the pasuk, V'loi Arba, not to include Esten and Kelev and Mechir Zoyna. Now, says the Gemara, if the halacha would indeed be that living with a dog is called znus, then why the sheep that is paid as a payment for such act should not be considered usur? It must be because living with a dog, albeit a terrible aveira, is not considered a maisa's nus, and it's only a maisa's nus that the payment for is usur on the mizbeach. And therefore, it's not usur to bring this payment of a woman living with a dog, that sheep, to the mizbeach, because ain't znus lebeima. The Mefarshim point out, we're learning in this pasuk that a mechir kelev, that something used as an exchange for a dog, may not be brought in the mizbeach. Mefarshim asks, why does the pasuk specify such a situation? So I saw the Mefarshim explain. A dog has a wonderful characteristic and has a bad characteristic. It has a good characteristic that it's extremely loyal to its owner. But it also has a bad characteristic that it's an asponim, it's a chutzpenik, it's strong. Teaches us the Torah. Even the stork, which has this wonderful characteristic of loyalty, but it has this characteristic of as. It doesn't have the proper midas. And anything connected to something that has improper midas, mechir kelef, doesn't have room on the mizbeach, should not be brought close to Hashem. Tana bonim, anusas atzmai, if somebody raped a woman, or mefusas atzmai, or he seduced a woman, a kohen gadol raped or seduced a woman, laisa, he should not marry her, v'mnasa nasui, but if he did marry her, the marriage is valid. Anusis chaverim, mefutas chaveroi, but ever if she was raped or seduced by another person, lo yisa, and there vimnasa, if he married her, and they had children. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov oima havlat cholol, the child is a cholol, v'char oima havlat kosher, the child is considered kosher. And there's a very wide-ranging machlokes rishonim how far to take this gemara. Rabbeinu Tam learns that the entire iser of marrying Mefutas atzmai, ubulus atzmai, is only midrabonim. Rashba says that the iser to marry her is the iser deraisa, but after he married her, there is no iser, and the chiyuv to divorce her is only midrabonim. According to Ramban, there's an iser to marry her, there's an iser to remain with her. However, Rav will agree that the child is not a cholol, the child is not a cholol. And the Rambam learns that Rav will hold that the child is even a cholol if he remains with her and they have children.